Do you imagine you're shopping for furniture? We've done a bit of that recently. But imagine you're shopping for stuff for your living room. And you're faced with a choice between two things. First thing is a lazy boy recliner. Really comfortable, very relaxing. The other choice is a chair made from radiator parts. The lazy boy is the last word in comfort. Their strap line in advertising is long live the lazy. The other chair apparently is amongst the world's top 13 most uncomfortable pieces of furniture, alongside chairs made from sharpened pencils, cactuses, and the beanbag made of steel. It's amazing what you can find on the internet, isn't it? What would you choose? The lazy boy or the radiator? I would say the choice is probably a no-brainer, isn't it? All of us, I would have thought, would gravitate towards comfort, the lazy boy. We all want to be comfortable, not just in our choice of furniture, but actually in our lives in general. We want a life, don't we, that is straightforward, uncomplicated, hassle-free, stress-free, comfortable. Plain sailing, that's what we want, isn't it? But beyond the recliners, we want material comfort, don't we? We want to fit in. We want to be popular. We want to be liked. We have a tendency to go with the flow, to sort of follow the crowd, swim with the tide. In all areas of our lives, don't we really want to be comfortable? Now, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with that. It's sort of a natural thing, isn't it? We want to be comfortable in this world in our lives. But what about life in the kingdom? What about living for Jesus, living for the King? Can that be a life marked by comfort? Well, in this final beatitude, the eighth and last, Matthew 5, 10 to 12, we see that comfort is not what we should expect to enjoy if we are living lives that are sold out for Jesus. Instead, the everyday, normal, expected reality of the blessed life is one that is marked by persecution. However, for the believer, in the middle of all of that, in the face of hostility and opposition, there is blessing. There can be a wonderful supernatural joy. And those are the two things I want us to think about for a wee while this morning. Firstly, persecution, and then joy. But let's begin with persecution. Let's just look at those couple of verses again. Look at verse 10. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So what does it mean then to be persecuted? Well, that word, it literally means to be pursued or to be chased with hostile intent. It can also mean to be harassed, oppressed, punished. And in these couple of verses, there's a very specific reason given for persecution. Look at verse 10. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted." Why? Because of righteousness. Or look at verse 11. "Blessed are you when people persecute you." Why? Because of me. Jesus is talking to his disciples about the harassment, the oppression, the wrong treatment of people because they're living for him, because they're standing for him, they're committed to him, they're following him. And in a hostile, fallen, broken down world, when we live for Jesus, when we stand for Jesus, we're going to face opposition, hostility, persecution. John Stott once put it like this. He said, "There's a clash between two irreconcilable value systems." Isn't that right? People living for King Jesus, people living in a secular world for themselves. Living for Jesus will inevitably lead to persecution. What might that look like? Well, it can be physical persecution for Christians throughout history. Even today in persecuted lands like India, Somalia, Libya, China, North Korea, Eritrea, Yemen, the list goes on and on and on. There are people right now as we sit in this building in prison being tortured, ostracized from their communities simply because they love Jesus, they're living for Jesus. It can be physical persecution. And this isn't a new thing, because look at verse 12. Jesus says that the prophets were persecuted. This reminds me of Stephen's speech in Acts chapter 7, just before Stephen was stoned to death for his faith. He said to the religious leaders, "You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet that your fathers did not persecute?" So throughout the Old Testament, the prophets were persecuted, physical persecution. The story of Jeremiah is a prime example. Jesus' disciples didn't have an easy life, did they? It wasn't comfortable. They were persecuted. They were imprisoned. They were arrested. They were tortured. They were treated terribly. Persecution can also be verbal, and maybe this is something that you and I might be more familiar with. Look at verse 11 again. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." There's an old saying, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's rubbish, isn't it? That's just not true. We've all been hurt by words at some point. Your words have power, don't they? Your words can really damage us. Words can hurt us deeply. And when Jesus here in verse 11 refers to insults, he's getting at insulting language, abusive, nasty words that can hurt. When Jesus here speaks of those who falsely say all kinds of evil against you, he's getting at slander, allegations with no foundation, gossip, verbal assaults. And maybe for you and I, we have come across this as we follow Jesus in this world. Maybe you've got your own personal experience of this. Have you ever been ridiculed because you love Jesus? Have you ever been mocked in school or in the workplace or in your neighborhood, your community? Jokes with a jag, have you been on the end of those? Because of our faith, our morality, our decisions, our stand for the gospel, our stand for truth, often don't we face this sort of persecution? So as we engage with this culture, wherever we find ourselves, if we live for Jesus, if we stand for the gospel, if we stand for truth, if our lives are marked by kingdom values, you and I will face persecution. If we value Jesus, as we thought about with the kids, above everyone and everything else, then you and I will experience that great clash that John Stott wrote about. This shouldn't shock us. We shouldn't be surprised by this. Do you remember what Paul said to Timothy? He said, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." It shouldn't shock us. In fact, I want you to think about it this way. If you and I never face any opposition because of our faith, if no one ever says anything about us, if we're just not noticed for our faith in Jesus, our love for Jesus, then surely we've got to ask ourselves a question. Am I really living for the King in this world at all? Does my life reflect in any way the gospel that I'm in Christ? Am I any different to the crowd? Jesus in John 15 said to his disciples, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. They persecuted me, they will persecute you also." Jesus was persecuted, and that led to the cross. If we're following Jesus, who suffered and bled and died, if we're living for King Jesus, it is certainly not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. There is no health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. That's a load of nonsense. You people who tell you, become a Christian and your life will be all sweetness and light, it'll be smooth sailing. It's just not true. There'll be suffering. There'll be persecution. It's not going to be comfortable. But to follow King Jesus means to enjoy the blessing, the favor, the smile of God upon your life. And through it all, through all of it, it's our calling, all of it, in the middle of it, you and I can have an almost supernatural, indescribable joy. And that's the second thing I want us to think about. Now, isn't that the suggested response for those who are persecuted in verse 12? Look at verse 12. Remember, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven." You might look at that and have a few questions. How can you rejoice and be glad when you're being persecuted? Physically, verbally. In fact, in Luke's account, Luke 6:23, he refers to leaping for joy. Now, I don't know what it is that would cause you to leap for joy. If Spurs win, I'll leap for joy. Or, you know, there's lots of things. At the end of the exams, for example, or at the end of June when school finishes, you might leap for joy. When a new baby's born in your family, you might leap for joy. Lots of things that might cause us to leap for joy. But persecution, being harassed, being oppressed, you know, how can that cause us to leap for joy? I think the key aspect of all of this is our perspective, how we see things, and especially how we see our lives in the here and now in light of eternity. Isn't it true that you and I get so caught up with today, with the here and now, so focused on time? You know, we say the summer flew by, you know, it feels like it's flying by, life's going in a whiz. We're so focused on the here and now that we forget the reality that our lives in this world are so, so short. Remember what James said about that, James 4:14, "What's your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." You know, in Matthew 5:12, Jesus says to his disciples who will be persecuted that they can rejoice and be glad, that they can leap for joy, because this life is not all there is. There's more to come. There's better to come. In fact, the best is yet to come, because they can look forward to an immeasurably great reward in heaven. Verse 12. Isn't Jesus calling his disciples here to have an eternal perspective? Isn't that the key to experiencing joy in the midst of fierce persecution? You know, it's there at the end of verse 10 as well, isn't it? He says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So it's by grace that you and I are kingdom citizens, isn't it? Not because of anything we've done or haven't done. It's by grace. It's by grace through faith that you and I, as followers of Jesus, can look forward to him coming again one day. We can look forward to, as we thought about on Thursday evening, to the new heavens and the new earth, to glory. No more tears, no more grief, no more darkness. Our perspective, how we see things, really, really matters. Hebrews 12, verse 2, we read that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. You know, Jesus suffered on the cross for you and I. And for the joy set before him, he endured, he persevered. His heart, his mind was focused on glory and heaven and being with his Father again. And here is the joy set before you and I. if we are genuinely followers of Jesus, here's the reason that you and I can rejoice and be glad even when we're suffering for righteousness, even when we're opposed, even when we're ridiculed and mocked and demoralized and shoved to the side of our society. We can rejoice and be glad because our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. The Apostle Paul. Do I wonder, do you know King Jesus? Do you, in your heart and in your life, do you know this joy that no matter what happens, that you can rejoice and be glad, you can leap for joy? Even if you're the only believer in your sports team, or you're in your classroom at school or university, or in your workplace, and you feel surrounded, you feel overwhelmed, you don't know how to cope, you can rejoice and be glad. Because great is your reward in heaven. Because the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, equipping you, empowering you, giving what you would need. I wonder, do you have this joy? I wonder, do you know where you're going? Are you looking forward to this great reward in heaven? Is that your reality as you live in this world? It's a beautiful reality, isn't it? Isn't it a beautiful thing to look forward to? There's nothing greater. To be with Jesus, to be in his presence forever and ever and ever. The normal, expected, everyday reality of the blessed life is one that's marked by persecution. However, in the middle of it all, the pressure, the hostility, as people are in Christ, we can have a supernatural joy. Not the sort of happiness that we have when good things happen, but that deep down joy we have because of Jesus, because of who we are in Christ, because of what he's done for us, because of what he's going to do. He's coming again. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor during the Second World War. I'm sure you've heard that name before. He was executed on the order of Heinrich Himmler in April 1945 in the Flossenbürg concentration camp, just a few days before it was liberated. And Bonhoeffer had always believed and taught that suffering, being persecuted, was the badge of true discipleship. A genuine disciple, a follower of Jesus, will suffer, will be persecuted. And listen to what he said about it. He said, discipleship means allegiance to the suffering Christ. And it is therefore not at all surprising that Christians should be called upon to suffer. In fact, it is a joy and a token of his grace. Isn't that powerful? For following King Jesus, who suffered to the point of the cross for you and I, we will suffer. But he endured because of the joy set before him. And doesn't it help you and I as we suffer to remember the joy? Joy that is set before us. Do I wonder, what is it that you and I value above everything else in this world? What is our greatest treasure? Is it Jesus? Is it King Jesus? I'm reminded as I finish of the words from a song that we sometimes sing. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, greatest treasure of my longing soul, may all my days bring glory to your name. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Shall we take a moment to pray? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who suffered and bled and died for us. For the Savior King. And Father, we often worry about the future. We're not sure what will happen tomorrow or the next day or the next week or the next month. But we are so grateful that even though we can't see what the future brings, that we can watch and wait for the Savior King. That we can look forward to our joy being complete. That day when we will stand face to face in your presence. Father, help us as we live for you in this world to be courageous, to be bold, to be faithful, and through it all, to depend and to trust in you and your grace. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to close today.